Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to start off this Monday with praise. Hey. Good morning, everybody. I was created to make your praise glorious. We got to give God praise this morning. We got to give God glory. Hallelujah. How gracious is our God that he gave us another day. I'm making my praise glorious. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm rejoicing in it. I can't still believe it 39 years ago. God gave me a son, and his name is Tucson, a saint. He's a saint. He's a good guy. He's a wonderful man of God, and I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed that this child was given to me. He was 2 weeks late. I was tell my best friend, one of my best friends, that she came to my house and manifested a 2 week late delivery so he would come on her birthday. So he is her gift from God. I'm grateful today that God woke me up, clothed in my right mind. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Our God is merciful. He gave us all a do-over. So if you're listening in this morning, you were given a do-over. Thank God for your do-over. Thank God he gave you a new day. Thank God he blessed you to have another day. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't get their glorious day. Somebody didn't get to say, I was created to make his praise glorious. I was created to make his praise glorious. Yes, I was. Martha knows she sung that song. And all I can say is thank you, God, for giving us another day, giving us an opportunity to just sing praises to your name, to give you an absolute hallelujah praise, thanking God for another day. Whew. And may this day be better than yesterday, and yesterday was pretty good. So I'm thanking God, you know, for grandchildren and getting to hang out with them, you know, and it was just a lovely time, you know, having story time with my grandson, that he got a little nativity scene, and my god sister was telling him the story of Christ, and then he got his story time with his mom, and then he got his story time with me. I'm the last story time, so he goes to sleep, and he went to sleep with the word of God, and as he went to sleep with the word of God, you're waking up, and I'm waking up with the word of God, and I went to sleep with the word of God last night, and I slept my best sleep, thanking God for a word to just make you sleep. I turned on my Bible app and just let it talk me to sleep last night, because when you go to sleep with the word of God, you wake up refreshed. So thanking God for a fresh wind. Thanking God for that rushing wind that comes through, giving us peace. So thank God today. Thanking God today for all of you. Another day to give him praise. Praise the Lord, everybody. I was created to make his praise glorious. What a mighty God. We are serving y'all. I'm getting all excited. Y'all know I get all giddy for Jesus, and I'm giddy this morning. You know, I woke up not feeling quite well, but God said, today you're going to be all right. And I just have to share my story this morning. And if I get a little emotional, just chalk it up to today is my oldest son's birthday, as I said earlier, and I'm grateful to be a mom. Some time ago, I was going through my word, and a white feather came out. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, put it back in the Bible. And I did. And the day that it just happened to show up in my Bible was on my son's birthday. God reminds us of his love. God reminds us that we belong to him, and our children are his gift to us. And so today, as I celebrate my oldest son's birthday, my oldest biological child, I guess, birthday, I can only say thank you, God, Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. And for being just a mighty and awesome God. So this morning, we are starting in Psalms, and then we're going to go into our New Testament words, and we will be finishing up Philippians today. Wow, time just goes quickly by. But we are moving forward pretty quickly. As I look at our Bible and see, we don't have a lot left before this year is over. We have read a lot of words this year. If we look on our Bible, which we are coming out of, the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, I am coming out of New King James. My normal daily disclaimer, I am not paid by Charles Stanley or any of his ministries to hawk his Bible, but I will tell you, this Bible is one of the best Bibles to have in your biblical arsenal. It is amazing, and it is so, oh, it touches your heart. You can't help it. It just touches your heart because it's just that great a Bible. So get it, get it, get it. That's all I'm saying to everybody. Get this Bible. It is worth having. And as I was reading and studying, we are in Psalms 116 still. And it's about praising God. You know, we give God praise in everything. So many times we want to rush through God. You know, oh, shoot, I got to go to church today. Oh, and it's going to be long. Shoot, last week I missed lunch because he had such a long service. You know what? I can tell you, it was a great service, and it was worth lunch. It was worth missing lunch. My sister and I were going to go out. She's another sister in Christ. We're going to go out for lunch when she comes back from her vacation. And we won't pick a Sunday because we don't know what the Lord's going to do. So as I get ready to go through today, I just want to wish happy birthday first and foremost to my oldest son, to John Smith. His first name is Adam, but he goes by Tucson, which I love. It's a beautiful name and a mighty person of God. So I thank my God for my little saint. Wonderful man of God who I know God is going to bless to do great things. Also to his godmother, Marita Powell. And I will always say to everyone, don't invite your best friend to your house when her birthday is near and you are pregnant, because she manifested my baby's birthday on her birthday, his birthday on her birthday. So I was 2 weeks late having this baby that was due on September 23rd, decided to come on October 9th. Manifestations do happen, y'all. And to a friend of mine, Robin Johnson, who I like to call my cousin, she's one of the Johnson girls, happy birthday as well. So happy birthday that I'm born on this beautiful day, October 9th. You are a blessing from God. So I don't know who all is listening this morning, but if there's another October 9th birthday, may God bless you and may God keep you. And let's get in the word. And the word of God in our title for this morning is coming out of Psalms 116, our 116th Psalm from our biblical scholars. And it says, gracious. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yet our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. And I'm speaking this as my testimony. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. But you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Can y'all say praise the Lord this morning? I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my heart, hey, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Who praise the Lord this morning, saints? Praise the Lord this morning, saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your maid servant. You have loosed my bond. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise God this morning, y'all. Give God the glory this morning. Let the Lord know that you are thankful, that you are grateful, that he gave you another day because he didn't have to, but he did. Praise God today because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't get to go on their trip to see this because they didn't make it the next day. Please let God, the Macon family, in your prayer. They lost a matriarch and they lost a baby girl of the family one time. All it takes is one time. I'm blessed to be here. And I ask you to please continue lifting Sister Carolyn up in your prayers. Her daughter lost her grandmother and her sister in a car accident on Wednesday. Take your time, family. When you're in your car, take your time. They were doing what was right. But the vehicle that sits there ran a stop sign. God did not promise us tomorrow. We live every day with grace. And we should always give God thanks that he blesses us with another day. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us make this day glorious. Let's make this day glorious. I was created to make this day glorious. And as our psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. We rightly grieve when a loved one dies, but God has a very different reaction. He rejoices that another one of his children has entered his eternal presence. Death is not the end, but a new beginning. And so I say to my sisters, to my niece in love, don't grieve. I had took me a long time to get to this place because I grieved. And I still have moments. But then I think about the goodness of God and I remember his word that absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. And then I can rejoice. Because those that have gone before me are with God in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we go to our proverb for today, we are starting in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1. Do not boast about tomorrow. Wow, all up in it. But you do not know what a day may bring forth. Wow. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. Can I say that one more time? Do not boast about tomorrow, but you do not know what a day may bring forth. Ooh, praise the Lord. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. Give honor to God. And I love how Dr. Stanley tells it. He says, when we go to let another man praise you and not your own mouth, our God loathes human self-promotion. I call it self-grandizement. It's all about us. I did this. I did that. I. No. I didn't do a doggone thing. I didn't even wake up this morning. Only thing, the reason I'm here is because he woke me up. He gave me another day. He is my God. And I'm gloriously praising him today that he gave me a do-over. Thank you, God. I didn't do a doggone thing. I'm not even reading this word. God is reading it through the eyes that he gave me. Because somebody can see this morning to read the word of God. We got to trust the Lord. And the word says, our God loathes human self-promotion. Our society seems to take it for granted, especially in athletes and entertainment. You know, I was ready to call somebody, he's the GOAT. I'm the GOAT. I'm the this. I'm the that. There's nothing in this world greater than Jesus. So if you're going to call somebody a GOAT, the greatest of all time, you need to be talking about our Savior. Come on now. Because there's nothing and nobody greater than Jesus. And I love it, says, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And that's the 75th Psalm, verse 71. God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. We need to keep that in mind when we get into the I did this and I did that. I can't do nothing without the Lord. And that's what we need to remember in our walk. And let's get into our New Testament words. And can y'all say, yes, Lord? We are about to go in our last two chapters of Philippians. And all I can say is, yes, Lord. Paul saved the best for last. Because I'm going to tell you, these two books, these two chapters of Philippians will take you there. They will have you doing the hallelujah shout. They will have you doing the praise the Lord. They will take you over because Paul is getting our attention. He is reminding us that we are who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We got to get out of flesh and get in to the Lord. So let's get your Bible, get your Bible. We're going to the New Testament this morning, and all I can say is praise the Lord, everybody. For our God is good. As we come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm lifting up the name of Jesus this morning as we move forward in God's word. And I thank God. I'll talk about my feather in a minute, but right now we're going to get through the word. Just grateful. I'm grateful today. Grateful, 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 grateful that God is good all the time and that he loves us more than we can ever imagine. Give God some praise today, family. Give God some praise today. Finally, my brethren, Philippians chapter 3. rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law. As we know, Saul was a mess. Saul stood there and watched Stephen get stoned to death. Saul was on his way to Damascus because he was going to get them upstart Christians. He was going to get them. They weren't even Christians yet. They was just the way. Who do they think they are? Blaspheming the Lord. Talking about that little upstart named Jesus. Who do they are? I'm going to get them. They going to jail, and they just might get stoned like that little mouthy kid, Stephen. Huh, I'm going to Damascus. Give me my stuff. I'm going. I get them for you. I got this. Wrong, and double wrong. He didn't have anything but blindness so he could see the light. Come on now. So Paul's speaking of who he was. Yeah. I'm more so stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisees. You know, I'm educated. I had my stuff. I got my credentials. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Woo! Paul's like, this life is not that busy deal because I'm waiting for the next one because I know one day I'm going to be with my Savior. Hey, come on now. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I woke up this morning, family, with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, hey, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord this morning with me, y'all. Praise the Lord this morning with me. Paul understands that God is gracious and righteous and merciful. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you. Have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And let's get some life lessons from this verse. And when we go to verse 3 of Philippians, we hear, we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. True religion is not a matter of carrying out traditions, rites, and rituals, but always is based on a genuine and intimate relationship with God, the Father, made possible by faith in Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Can you see my shout going on this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse number 8 of Philippians chapter 3. I also count all things of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We never have to worry that we will miss out on the good things in life because of our Christian faith. Nothing we give up because of our connection to Christ has any lasting value. Don't worry that you didn't make the lunch last week because you were in church praising the Lord and feeling his presence. Instead, rejoice that God gave you another day that you could plan another lunch on that person's return. And I'm speaking to myself because sometimes you're looking at your watch, I'm like, we still here. Shoot, the Bears game started a half an hour ago. You know, we don't have to be in church all day long. Goodness, it's already probably the second quarter. I wonder if anybody will notice if I get my phone to see what the score is. Y'all know who I'm talking to. Y'all know who I'm talking to. You know, oh, I'm sorry. The Ravens are playing today, and I don't want to miss the game. So we don't go to church because we don't want to miss the game. We got to understand God is in charge of whether my favorite team, the Bears, wins, or my sibling's favorite team, the Ravens, wins. All of us win when we put in time with God. You can take the game, but you cannot take the Holy Spirit. When he comes like a rushing wind, and he takes over. I'd rather be in the presence of the Holy Spirit than any touchdown. Praising God before any chance. Loving the Lord before loving young Mr. Fields, the new quarterback up there. I am just saying, I love God, and I would rather be in his house than any place else. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. No matter what his circumstances, the Apostle Paul never settled for the past. We too must press on with the mindset that there is always something more to be found in Christ. Can the church say amen? Always something more to be found in Christ. Whew. Thank you, God, for your day, a good day. Thank you for my blessing of a wonderful child. Thank you, Lord, just for your grace, which is sufficient for me. Whew, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Can y'all just say thank you, Lord, with me this morning? Can you just give God a minute of praise? Can we just have a quick praise break? Father God, we thank you. Lord, we lift up your name. Lord, we give you honor. Lord, we give you power. Lord, we thank you for your grace of waking us up. For you are glorious. You are wonderful. You are merciful. You are kind. You are loving. You are my Father. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. I'm filled up this morning. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, gracious God, thank you. And as we continue in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and we know so much God can do, and we're going to end on a word that we all know and we can all be thankful for. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brother, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Beloved, I implore Theodora and I implore Cynthia to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever you got, you're asking God for. Remember this. Be anxious for nothing. Lord, you know I got to pay my mortgage. Lord, you know that I got these bills that I got to take care of. Lord, you know that my grandbaby's tuition is due. Lord, you know that my son is looking for another job. Lord, you know that everything is that my sister is under attack. You know, Lord, that we all have a that in our life. We all have that. Lord, you know. Yes, he does know. And when we say, Lord, you know, we just gave it to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God as salvation for somebody with thanksgiving. Are you lifting up the sick and the shut in with thanksgiving? Are you asking God to bless your enemies with thanksgiving? He knows who has hurt or harmed you, and he will do the convicting. You don't have to talk about how much you hate them, how much you despise them, how much you wish you could get them. Give it to God and keep it moving. But no one has a heaven or hell to send you to but God. Again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Boy, we want to burn the mortgage on our church sooner than later. Lord, we want the mortgage paid on our home sooner than later. Lord, we want to be out of debt, that nasty debt, credit card debt, tuition, school, and student loan debt. We got to ask for it. And what happened? The government said we're going to take a couple $20,000 off your debt. That's God. Now all they need to do is give folks the interest back on them credit cards and then on their taxes and watch God work on this economy. But instead, they penalize people for hard times. COVID messed up a lot of finances of a lot of people. But we lift them up. We lift up the name of Jesus, and we know that God can work it out. As the song said, the problems that I had, I just couldn't seem to pray, and I prayed and got deep involved. I turned it over to Jesus, and I stopped worrying about it. I turned it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. Jesus can work it out. We got to understand who we belong to. And I read one more time, and then we're going to continue. Be anxious for nothing, family, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to me, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can y'all say it with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, one more time, baby. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is our salvation, and he strengthens us. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Anxiety wanes, as Dr. Stanley tells us, and eventually disappears when we take our concerns to God, who has the power and the wisdom to take care of them, believing that he always has our best interests at heart. If we dwell on negative thinking, our frame of mind will soon turn sour, pessimistic and negative. If we fill our minds with the things of God, with prayer and thanksgiving, the opposite occurs, and we begin to see the world as God sees it. Can y'all just raise a hand and say hallelujah this morning? Hallelujah this morning. God is so good. And I'm just grateful to have another day. Grateful that he blessed us with hope in another day. Thankful that God loves us more than we love ourselves. And a life question. I got a couple things this morning from our Philippians word. Whew. And this is a word from God. Thanking God this morning as you all listen on this show with me today. Adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship. So we got a life principle this morning. And we also have a life lesson, actually a life question. And we're going to go over our life principle, and then we'll go over life questions. And then, family, it's a wrap. And it says this in our Philippians 3:10-11. We already read it numerous times. What is God's goal in adversity? His basic objective is to draw us closer to himself. He does not glory in pain or sorrow, but he uses these things to teach us about his love and faithfulness. The moment adversity comes, our vulnerability increases, and we wonder where God is. Pain, disappointment, and trial drive us to the Lord and to the cross, where we discover our personal need for a Savior, not just for our soul salvation, but for the entire span of life. We are struck with a defining thought, I need God. We need his fellowship and his presence, or we will collapse. Later, there will be kind enough to ask God to show you what you can learn from the pain you have suffered. God always has something in mind. When we allow us to face difficulties, he has a plan, a purpose, and a goal, not just for this situation alone, but for your entire life. In times of difficulty, God is your immovable strength. Can y'all say that with me? In times of difficulty, God is my immovable strength. And when we go to our word, we're going to go over to Proverbs. So join me back in the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. Go to verse number 10. Let me go a little bit around it. Actually, we're going to go to verse number, yeah, we're going to go to 10. And it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Woo! Read that again. Because we know Proverbs 18 is the bomb. It is the bomb. Because we know that in Proverbs 18, for all my unmarried sisters, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. So understand that God has got you. If you are unmarried and you want to be married, he is going to find you. You don't have to look for him. Woo, hallelujah. He will pursue you. You don't have to pursue him. God's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. But you are his and he is yours. The rich man's wealth is the strong city, and it's like how wild is on a thing. We already know all those things. But I want to go back to our word. The name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The righteous run into it and are safe. And I like to say, when we come to Proverbs chapter 18, it's all highlightable. It's my that whole chapter is highlighted in my word. It is totally highlightable. And as we continue to say, what are you to do when adversity strikes? The book of Hebrews encourages us by saying, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 36. When adversity strikes, the first thing we should do is turn to God. The second step is to affirm our commitment to him, that we will remain focused on him and not on our circumstances. We see both of these portrayed in the lives of the men and women of the Bible. Joseph's life is a study of faith, trust, and victory amidst adversity. As a young man, he learned how God could take the cruelest of us and turn it into the wondrous blessing. Sold into Egyptian bondage by his brothers. Come on, y'all. Y'all think that through. Joseph spent years bound and confined to a life of slavery. Even when it appeared that he would gain a reprieve from danger and heartache, adversity struck a second time as he was falsely accused of a crime. That ratchet woman called Potiphar's wife go accuse this young man of trying to attack her, her old self, who was trying to get on him and trying to force him into having sex with her. And he said no. And so she's going to try to claim he did it anyway. And he says, but back to a dungeon, he went, only this time with a stiffer sentence. We tend to think poor Joseph, but Joseph was rich in God's presence. He understood this principle about adversity and knew that God had something wonderful in mind for his life. Woo, you think you're going through, family. But remember that God is in charge, and he will never give us more than we can handle. We tend to think, again, adversity was a tool in Joseph's life. God used it to shape his servant for service. Joseph landed in a key leadership role that ultimately led to the preservation of the nation of Israel. Had he escaped from prison and gone into hiding, the entire nation of Israel would have missed God's blessing. and without the training that came as a result of severe disappointment, Joseph may have become proud and self-reliant. Instead, God used this young man's life to change the course of history. People often ask, what is the quickest way through seasons of adversity? Many times, there just is no quick solution to the trials we face. There is one sure way through difficulties of life. However, that is through obedience and surrender of selfish feelings and desires. Adversity has a way of pushing us beyond ourselves, where we find God waiting to gather us in his arms. It also stirs us to pray like nothing else can. And it is in prayer that we find shelter from the storms of life. Held under the canopy of God's presence, we discover a sense of security and hope that we thought had evaded us. Even when life seems emotionally and spiritually dark, he will be your very light. You can be sure that God will use the trials you face to shape your life so that you reflect his love and care to others. Never forget that God knows the future, stands the advantage of adversity, and how it can be used to strengthen your faith, refine your hope, and settle your heart into a place of contentment and trust. Without times of adversity, you would miss the power or experience of God walking with you through the valley times of life. As the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, but thou art with me. Whew. Praise God. And God is with us through our valley. He's with us through our storm. He's with us through our trial. He's with us through our adversity. God is always there. Ooh, what a mighty God we serve. Therefore, determine to keep the focus of your heart on Jesus. Don't let the negative talk of others sway you. Stay close to the Lord in devotion and prayer. Read his word. He will guide you through the greatest difficulty, and you will know what it means to live in a broad place of blessings. Even when you're going through, remember that God has blessings with your name on it. Remember, God has a way of making what you think is no way into some way. God is in charge of everything. And as we get to our last word this morning, will God really meet all my needs? And I can tell you, yes, he will. And this is the word that God gave us this morning. Have you ever pondered the real meaning of Philippians 4:19? And we're going to go over it because we have not finished our Philippian word. We're going to go over the Philippians 4:19 as we come back and finish it. So before I get into God, where God really meet all our needs, let me finish this Philippian word this morning. And it says this as we continue in Philippians 4:14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. But even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek that abounds to your account. Indeed, I am all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you all. The saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And as we go through back to our word, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. While without Jesus, we can do nothing. See John 15:5. With him, nothing is impossible. The demands and stresses of life can easily overwhelm any of us, but they are no match for the risen Son of God. And back again to Philippians 4:19. Have you ever pondered the real meaning of Philippians 4:19? If so, then you may also have encountered some frustration. What about this need I have had for years, you wonder? Doesn't God care about this aching hole in my heart? Why doesn't he just feel it? We may have attempted to meet the need yourself. We can't. Sometimes you may even have felt faithless and thought that God did not hear you because of the weakness of a lack of a consistent prayer. Deep inside, you know that only God can feel your need, which further frustrates manage and reveals your complete lack of control. You cannot successfully meet your own needs or compel God to comply with your personal desires. Time, schedule, or concept of how it should be accomplished. So what are you to do? Here's some good news. That is exactly the position God wants you in. No, God does not enjoy your pain or take delight in seeing you suffer or confused. He is a God of infinite love, gentleness, and compassion. Nothing he does or does not do comes from spite. Even his discipline is perfectly administered out of love. And so as we work it out today and finish up, remember this, God on the journey of faith, such unwavering trust has profound results. Keep God first in everything you do. So what are you to do when the delay goes on? Pressure to give up increases and you feel worried about beating yourself up with false fear. It may sound like a platitude, but keep your eyes on the Lord and follow him. No matter what, James tells us that the testing of our faith leads to perseverance, which works make us perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Praise God this morning. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And thank you all for joining me this morning. What a mighty God we serve. And the word from our sister in Christ today is this. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now, be removed of God to comfort your heart and mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a super Sunday, family, keeping God first. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, a wrap. Have a great day. And as Paul ended his words, we end ours. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's a wrap. Have a great day. And thank you again for joining me this morning.